The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
This and big shot them from Caribbean Dance Company just walk in the studio, so I got to know my place and stay there, if you know what I mean. Programming notes for tonight on Channel 12, the PBS News Hour at 7 p.m. Washington Week at 8 p.m. in conversation with AARP Virgin Islands at 8:30. American Masters at 9 p.m. Little Richard, the king and queen of rock and roll. And that's a 2 hour. That's a 2 hour edition of American Masters tonight from 9 to 11 p.m. and then Alan Poor and Company at 11. Okay, so we got the News Hour at 7. That's an hour. Washington Week at 8 in conversation with AARP Virgin Islands at 8:30. And then American Masters featuring Little Richard tonight. So, you know, yesterday was Arts Thursday and I got a phone call and they asked me to do a. No, they didn't ask me. They were inquiring as to Arts Thursday is it full. I said, well, we're actually doing something in the first hour Arts Thursday, so that means that we're gonna do a extended Arts Thursday and Friday in Caribbean Dance Company. You know, they are a staple here in the Virgin Islands, so we were more than welcoming of them here in the studio, and I believe they got an event next week. It's my understanding. So, let me just yield to the shot callers and let them take over. And I'm going to start with Carlos or you?
Let's start with Carlos.
Carlos, pull up the microphone so we can get directly into it. Yeah, I'm going to work with you. So, introduce yourself and then Mayo could tell us what's going on. Good morning.
Good morning. I like to say good morning to the listening audience. My name is Curlis Solomon John. Mm-hmm. And we have an upcoming performance, our 46th year. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be held at the complex, Syncroic Educational Complex, on June 9th and 10th.
That's what I'm talking about. Young lady, introduce yourself. Pull that microphone down. Get comfortable, man. Yeah, there you go.
Good morning. My name is Essie Gaston Edwards, and I am an instructor as well as a performer with the Caribbean Dance School.
So what are you talking about?
Good morning. My name is Christiana Williams, and I am a board member for the Caribbean Dance Company of the Virgin Islands. For many years, I was a touring member of the Caribbean Dance Company, and now I've, you know, refocused my efforts and energy into keeping this amazing organization alive here in the Virgin Islands, so that we can continue to support and grow the arts, culture, and community here, and ensure that our younger generations truly understand the incredible rich heritage of music and dance that have been a part of us, you know, going back to our origins. So we are very excited to be here today to talk with Mr. Neville.
That's what I'm talking about. So, Carlos, let me start with you. How long ago was CDC?
Ooh.
This is the arts version of CDC.
Okay, so the company has been there for 46 years.
Mm-hmm. 77, right?
Yes, yeah. 1977.
Yeah.
I've been dancing with them from 1970.
Mm-mm.
As a student.
Yeah.
I left from Ati Bermudez Theater Dance, mm-hmm. which Monty and myself was...
Pull the microphone up a little bit. So we
which Monty Thompson and myself were members of that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided... we like to do a little bit more Afro-Caribbean, our culture, after Ati left and Monty went out and decide he's going to start a company,
mm-hmm.
and asked me if I would join the company. I said, no problem. And from that day.
You've been let your oath, Carlos?
Yes. Every day from day one. Mm-mm. Never mm-mm. one day stop.
You're to be commended for that.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yes.
That's commitment.
Mm-mm. It's
hurry, all the hurricane them, all the change in administration, ups and downs, sideways activity, still there.
Everything, all the cleanup after the hurricane yeah. to get it ready for the next class mm-mm. to happen, offering free classes for people who are stressed and everything. Mm-hmm. We've been there, we're still there, and we hope to stay there.
What's it like seeing students who may have been students in the 70s and 80s now full-fledged husband and wife, family, all a parent, all that stuff?
Let me tell you, they come back and say, Miss Curlis, I bring in my child to you. They need some of your discipline.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
And I do have like three of them in class right now
mm-hmm.
that the generations, grandmother bring back their child and,
wow.
you know, and last summer we had that and it was like amazing. She said when her grandchildren come, she brings them to Caribbean dance because that's her roots,
mm-hmm.
right? Not to say that the students don't go other places to dance because I have no problem with that. My thing is if you're not dancing with me and you're dancing some places, it's okay. Just keep dancing. Just keep dancing.
I like that.
You know, because the more experience you have from different organizations, different technique, it's better for the dancer because you're developing your skills. And when you decide to come back home, you're bringing back something to share with the other dancers at the school.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, if you're not dancing, I'm asking you why.
Yes, sir. I like that.
You know?
Instructor, okay, Nan.
I'm here. How you doing?
Tell me about that. Tell me about that dynamic where Ms. Williams, for up mentioned, I don't call her Madam President because she's a big shot, right?
For sure.
The art form needs to be preserved.
Well, for me, my foundation of dance started at the St. Croix Central High School under Miss Lisa Lenhardt Acosta.
Yeah, ma'am.
And growing up, I always admired the Caribbean Dance School and hoped that one day I would be able to be a part of their family because it's not just a school, it's more like a family. Instilling culture, heritage, history, just embodying overall talent, whether it's natural ability or something that the student eventually develops through time. So me being here is really a blessing, and I like to continue the legacy that Caribbean dance has fostered mm-hmm. throughout the community for over 46 years.
Wow, that's a big number. Madam President.
So first I'm going to say.
No, before I get there. We met in 1985.
I know he was going to talk about that.
That's 38 years ago. That donkey years ago. And Caribbean dance had a good 7-8 years before that. Oh gosh.
It's wow. true, but I didn't join them then. So if it makes you feel any better, we connected first.
We got two generations of friendship, and they're still exceeding that. That's a testament to stick-to-itiveness.
It's incredible. Yeah. And for me, just like Essie, I remember going to see students of Caribbean dance at Island Center. And dreaming mm-hmm. of, you know, one day, why can't I do that? And had the opportunity in my last year of school to take a class with them. A senior in high school was the first time I really had the experience of dancing with the school. And I went off to college. And because of that experience, I actually joined the college dance program.
Okay.
And took classes.
What school you went to?
I went to Allegheny College in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
And did a couple years.
I'm in Pittsburgh, right? You ready?
It's actually, just about an hour and 45 minutes north of Pittsburgh.
Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back, you know, started my career, dance was the furthest thing from my mind at that point. A friend who was a company member said, Chris, why don't you come and take a class? And I did, and the rest is history. You know, that was I think it was 1993.
So you got to go 30, you got 30 up,
listen,
up in this thing
so
too,
yeah.
Right?
So in 94, I auditioned and became an apprentice member with the company. I'll never forget. Our first tour was, we went to Maryland, D.C. in December. Wonderful experience. Yeah. You know, and the rest, as they say, is history. Mm-hmm. And so, although, you know, many years later, I'm not as active age, you know, and work. Mm-hmm. It is so important, as Essie said, that we continue the legacy that this organization has brought into this community. And the one thing I will also like to add is these two ladies are being very modest. So we must give Miss Curlis her due. Mm-hmm. She is artistic director with Caribbean Dance Company and School. And our instructor, Miss Essie, runs the dance program at the complex. She has cheerleaders, she has dancers. She is phenomenal and has brought that experience into Caribbean Dance Company and School. And with that, we continue to grow and build and develop, which is very important. As you said, to survive 46 years.
Yes, sir. That's the big commitment. Now, you mentioned Island Center. Call us, do we have an obligation as Crucians to protect an institution and make sure an institution like Island Center actually remains in effect and actually gets the periodic upgrades to keep it at that level? Because let's face it, Island Center, the history of Island Center, not only for dance, but just entertainment, speaks for itself.
I am so glad you said that. Definitely. I am a board member of Island Center, and at present time, we're looking into how we can fix Island Center. And that's like our second baby, Caribbean Dance second baby. Mm-hmm. God bless his soul, Doc Peterson. And yeah, every time he had a show, yeah. Curlis and Miss E, I need your help. Caribbean Dance was there for Island Center, and we're still there for Island Center. Even though our performance is not going to be there because of the condition at the moment right now, mm-hmm. we're still for Island Center. And after this performance, we're thinking about how we can do some kind of a fundraiser, because I think just like Caribbean Dance is for the community, mm-hmm. the community have to be for Caribbean Dance and Island Center.
I reach out to the governor, let's face it, or the legislature, because I'm speaking from experience, the miscellaneous section of the budget allows for nonprofit entities and certain entities to get infrastructure support, financial support to keep the infrastructure, and Island Center definitely. If you're good enough to host former President Bill Clinton was here, all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? I mean, with all due respect. And like Reichel,
yes,
right? It's Reichel before Reichel.
Yes.
Right? So as a result, how about we, you know, looking out for that?
That is exactly what we're thinking, and we want to keep Island Center for the people.
Yeah.
We don't want it so that somebody take over and then the people cannot afford it. Mm-hmm. So everybody said, why don't y'all give it to this, give it to that? I said,
no.
The idea is to keep it so that we can afford it, and that's what we're working on right now.
Yeah.
So.
And the name is actually figuratively and literally in the center of the island.
Exactly.
Island Center, you know what I'm saying?
Island Center for everybody.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
So we're working on doing that. And a matter of fact, we're thinking that we need to have a cleanup committee coming up where we're going to ask the public to come out and help. And mm-hmm. don't, if you're going to criticize, put the work in.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of things to be done. Mm-hmm. Put the work in. Mm-hmm. If you're just going to talk and don't do the work, it's not going to happen. We all have to do it together.
Without a doubt. So, Essie, this Afrobeats thing that took over the last 5 or 6 years, that it looked like they just realized that this thing going on, what people got.
Yeah, they just discovered it, but that's been around.
And we've been dominating that,
yes,
for our life.
Yes,
our lifetime. Why do you think all of a sudden they get traction like this?
Well, you know, popularity, one YouTube star or TikTok star or somebody.
So that was the genesis of why?
Basically, they made it more known, mm-hmm. and that's why it's now prevalent throughout the world, pretty mm-hmm. much, just because of TikTok or YouTube or whatever other social media interface there is mm-hmm. out there. Even for our own music, whether it comes to Calypso or Soca, it wasn't worldwide publicized until social media mm-hmm. came into play.
Well, no. I can say that. I was in my last year at college And I went to a big university, University of Miami, and I walk in. I remember walking. This is March. Never forget St. Patrick's Day walking, and I hear and I see people trying to dance to Buster Poindexter's redo of Hot, 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 mm-hmm. right? For Arrow, right? Mm-hmm. Or Arrow. And I say, I will just reach, right? Mm-hmm. But the reality is we have been creating a sound here in this archipelago, this part of the world, mm-hmm. that has always had global reach, right?
For real.
Yeah, and this Afrobeats, when I see how much fun people are having with it, and I would just, we said to myself, you know, they need to hit a carnival because they ain't really getting nothing yet. It's really, they've done something, they do a little wrinkle with it that has made it, I wouldn't say, you know, new, mm-hmm. but they've done something with it that allows for it to be catchy.
Yeah. It's a fusion within mm-hmm. Latin music as well. That's the word. Yeah. That's the word. That Latin influence.
But one of my mentors are Ed Milligan. You know Ed?
Yeah.
Out of West. Ed was the one who educated me. I'm making 16 next year. Ed told me about 5-6 years ago. All of that music, you'd be punching in the jukebox. Yes. That's our African music.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it is.
And you could speak to it with all that conga. I used to dance without.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That fusion you're talking about is key.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've added a couple new elements now and made it fresh.
Yeah.
And, reinvented.
And Caribbean dance embracing that, though?
Long time. But, you know, you say hat, hat, hat. You know, every time we travel, every country we travel, mm-hmm. wanted to hear Hot, Hot, Hot.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm serious. I am serious.
And they wanted to see how you do, how you think, and all that.
Yeah, because you remember Doc Peterson traveled with us sometime.
Okay.
Right, so, mm-hmm. and we get out there, and they're like...
Pull up my cup again.
They would say, do you know Hot, Hot, Hot?
Seriously?
I'm serious.
It really had that true global...
Yes. I mean, Italy... Mm. Even in when we went to Israel. Hot, Hot, Hot.
What?
Yeah, it sort of reminded me of like Bob Marley.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Wherever you go,
yes.
somebody knows one or two of those Caribbean songs, and then they know Bob Marley.
Yeah,
so.
And but keep in mind, right, one of the reasons why Hot, Hot, Hot was so brilliant was it wasn't just Hot, Hot, Hot. It was ole, ole. The harmony part that people could actually relate to.
Yeah, answer, respond. They love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man.
So, and we get up there and we, with our skirts moving and the audience is following.
But if I were to, so are your coordinated dances to Hot, Hot, Hot? I just had to do a little freestyle chemistry feeding off each other.
We feel off of each other, but one dancer would do a step and the audience would follow, and then the next dancer would go and do another step. It was fun, hilariously fun to see these people trying.
And
to
again,
do,
the Genesis know. Here yes. in the Caribbean.
Yes, definitely. They loved it.
That's beautiful. We're going to take a break. We got the Caribbean Dance Company here, and we're doing a little reminiscing in the early part. Now we're going to get to actually business, and of course the what number rendition we got next week?
Wow.
46.
Wow. So every year except for one, right? I miss 1 year or something, or
technically no.
No,
we just missed a June show, but we ended up having it in December.
Wow. Correct.
Of the pandemic.
Yes, so I missed nothing. That's why I came up. We'll take a break. I'll be back with the Caribbean Dance Company Arts Thursday and Friday in effect here on Analyze This.
I'm Scott Tong from Public Radio's Midday News Magazine, Here and Now. We bring you all the news that happens between the morning headlines and the afternoon wrap-up, plus conversations with authors and artists, stories that affect you, maybe a story about you. So join us for NPR's Midday News Magazine, Here and Now.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
You know exactly how you take your morning coffee. Knowing where to get news you can rely on is just as simple. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
From 6 to 8 a.m. here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. You can also listen on demand via the WTJX app, available for download from the App Store in Google Play.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here on Analyze This. We got the CDC, not the Center for Disease Control, the Caribbean Dance Company in the house. And we got CEC, right? Corliss, Essie, and Christina, right?
That's
right.
I love that. Right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's like that. I'm glad to have you here. Christina, the work that the dance company puts in to prepare for the final product to be presented to the public. That's what, you know, the consumers see. But talk a little bit about logistics, training, synchronicity with dancers, all that stuff to make sure that when the public reach, they're getting the best product available.
So you are so true. You know, when the audience walks in and sit down, they see this beautiful, amazing spectacle of, you know, dancers moving in tandem, as you mentioned, costumes and lights. But they don't see that we start in September for a June show.
Mm-mm.
You know, we start thinking about what do we want to be our focus this year? What do we want to ensure that our students are focused on, concentrated on in training. We usually have a mini recital, mainly for the students in December, where from September to early December, they're preparing to be able to get on stage, some of them for the first time, and demonstrate, you know, for their parents what they've been learning, but also to get the experience of knowing what it's like to be on stage, to be you know, the focus of attention. And that's very new and kind of scary for some of them, because you have to remember, we are training kids who are 2.5.
What?
Up. We got students who are not even 3 years old dancing with us right now, who will be on stage at Complex next week. And the hours, you know, we are basically at the studio Monday through Saturday and sometimes Sunday. You know, the students take a minimum of 2 classes a week. That's at least, for the toddlers, we try to keep it down to 2 hours a week because they can only retain so much. But we've got some teen dancers that are at the studio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. So some of us are putting in, you know, several hours a day at the studio. Then we've got to coordinate with tech. We got sound. We've got our lighting technician. We've got stage management. Trying to figure out how to manage 75 kids backstage, because once they enter, their parents, there's no interaction with their parents. They belong to us from 5:30 until the show is done.
Wow.
And we've got to keep them occupied and where they need to be when they need to be there. So it's a massive effort.
So, Carl, this is a level of professionalism we incorporate, we're instilling in young people from a young age then.
For sure. The students... Those little ones, they always throw them at me. Miss Carlos, you keep those. I have a relationship with the little ones that is incredible. I mean, the respect you get from those little people, a lot of them, you think they've been there before. Mm-hmm. I said, how old are you, sister? That one is, you know? But they have an understanding. If they want to do something, there's not a problem. You know, once they're ready, they're ready. Right now, I have, 26 kinders in my class that's going to be on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing because when I'm working with them, Christiana comes in to help sometime. And she runs out and says, I don't know how that woman to do that or not. She said, I don't know how that woman to do that.
Absolutely.
You know, I have them doing some sequence that some of the older students haven't gotten yet. You know, it's like a problem the mouth is going before they're doing. But once you give them guidance and you give them a prop to work with in terms of what color maybe or what line they're in, you would have one of the older ones saying, Miss Curlis, she's in the wrong line. You know, and so they help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every once in a while you have one that's having a bad day and they come in and they're cranky and it turns off the other one. But the level of understanding that these young students have is amazing. They know what they're doing. You know, every once in a while you're going to have one.
Pull on my word.
Every once in a while you're going to have one that don't know where front is and where back is. And another one's going to come and turn right around. we get space oriented. And where's the front of the room? And then they point into the back of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one say, all the rest of them go like, you know, like pointing to the front of the room. Mm-hmm. and helping out. So that with that, if they're starting to understand themselves, they're understanding spacing, they're understanding that if I am not good, I cannot be here.
But then the reason why practice is so important.
Right. And and the problem we have is not the students. Most likely, it's the parents.
Seriously?
I'm going to say it again. Yes, parents. Most likely, most of the time, it's the parents. And sometimes it's a good excuse. Somebody was sick or they couldn't make it or so forth. But when that child missed that one time, something have happened the last time they weren't there and they're lost. And then they come in and then the demeanor, they drop, you know, because they miss something and they can't catch up yet. And then when they catch up, it's okay, right? But the more they attend, the attendance is so important, you know, not to miss a class, especially you only come in 2 times a week for 1 hour.
So instructor, that's the heartbeat of what you do, what you deal with it.
Yes, yes. It is. Education is a key in any shape and form. And with these little ones, they really value their dance education. And it actually broadens their horizon and it basically aids in forging our future in order to keep the tradition alive. And consistency is key. And once they continue to come on a regular and participate, their memory is impeccable. As a matter of fact, they have a better memory than us when it comes to performance, when it comes to detail, when it comes to patterns and shapes and sounds and movement. So we are actually, you know, enhancing their skills even more, and they enjoy it. As a matter of fact, they tell their parents that, you know, if they know they're going to be late, they tell their parents, you're going to get me in trouble with Miss Essie or Miss Curlis. And they know the consequences for coming late is extra sit-ups or extra push-ups or extra laps and whatnot, and they do it, and then they tell their parent, like, you need to do these sit-ups and push-ups for me because it's your fault that I'm late. So the discipline is there, and the discipline starts from young. It doesn't start after they become older. It starts from now so that they grow up with that discipline. And it also, you know, overlaps in anything that they do in life.
And Christiana, what actually happens over time is they become teachers within the student dancing group.
Exactly.
And I would like to answer right there. Miss Jendai Satori Collinwood, did I get it right?
Yes. You did.
Yes. Has been a student with Caribbean dance from the time she was 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Jendai was very, I mean, like at that point, her sister was dancing, and before it was her time, she wanted to dance. She started with us, grew up with us, and I think in high school, 12th grade is when she went off and did something else, went to college, came back, started dancing with us, and now she's teaching with us. So the student becomes the teacher, right? So it's like, a family. As you grow up, you get more responsibility. You get more chores. You learn how to cook. You learn how to clean the house properly. And you're a part of the family to keep the family going. And that, you know, that is just so wonderful to have.
That's awesome. So we're at the complex this year. Because Island Center can't accommodate anything right now, right? Island Center is incapacitated?
They're doing some shows, but what we required...
The comprehensive...
Correct.
Yeah.
We felt like they weren't at the point where we could really present a professional program that was commensurate with what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
As Curlis mentioned, we have always been huge supporters of Island Center. After the hurricane, we were some of the first people in there cleaning. I still have pictures post-Maria of what Island Center looked like and what it looked like a week or two after we started cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
But we really needed to ensure that our dancers had a good space to be able to work in. What's really critical for us this year is, as you know, we're celebrating 175 years emancipation. And that is also a central theme for us, you know, longevity and legacy and tradition. The theme for our show this year is reflecting our history, preserving our traditions, forging our future. And it was critical for us that we had the right venue to be able to present that. We love Island Center. We love the open air theater and the whole atmosphere that brings. But unfortunately, we just couldn't do it this year. And we held out as long as possible trying to make that decision. So our tickets came out a little later than we'd hoped. But I think we've been to the complex before. We've done excellent shows at the complex, and I have no doubt that the community, when they come out to see what we have put together as a celebration, really, reflection of our shared history, of our roots, and a celebration of who we are and what we've overcome to get here.
No, I ain't knocking the complex, because we appreciate the complex being there. As an additional option, an additional venue. Matter of fact, remember one time, I think like in 2017, UVA had to move the graduation from there across the street, right? So we're going to show love to the complex. I mean, complex is ours anyway, so we're supposed to embrace it. But there is something about Island Center. I keep coming back to this. You know, saying that you can't really compare the two.
You can't.
It's true.
And of course, the declining seats, right? Which allows for excellent vision.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then there's something about performing in a half...
amphitheater,
you know what I'm saying? Out in the elements and all that stuff. And people like to breathe natural air, let's just call it.
Yes, for sure.
You know
what I'm saying? It's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, Island Center just has an ambience that... A lot of people can't compare with it.
You can't. And this is why we need to fix it.
I'm just thinking about it. The work that they actually did to construct it in its original form, really, once again, our forefathers had tremendous vision back in the day. Back in the day. So we owe it to Island Center for multiple reasons to see what we could do to make sure that we preserve that institution. Now, Caribbean Dance Company needs resources. Like every other entity.
We sure
and
do.
Of course, we didn't have guava crap, no, but we train our best. You know, that's the top analogy.
I like that one.
Yes.
Top analogy, you know? I mean, I can't help myself. Forgive me.
I love it.
What can we do, not just for Caribbean Dance Company, but all these entities that creating, not just preserving art form, but creating professionals and leaders. What can we do, aside from making public appearances on shows and all that stuff, to assist in making sure that the Caribbean Dance Companies of the world and the other entities are here to stay? Curlis, you've been around now. They're going to be a day. Curlis, I know that you love to dance, but there's going to be a day when you're going to say, yo, I ain't doing it at that level no more. We know you can't say, I ain't doing it.
Right.
That's out.
Right.
If that's the case, then the whole thing will wrap up. But at some point, you know... We got passed on the torch.
I'm trying to do that and they won't let me
see. No.
They won't.
It ain't gonna happen.
No, that's why people like Essie and Jindai, that's why I'm grooming those younger ones to come in, so that when Monty Thompson, who is the head director, and myself sit back, we said, we did something well. We train the young ones to take over.
Mm-hmm.
That so that we could come and sit in the audience and look at the show and say, wonderful.
Yeah, man.
The young ones are still doing.
Can we talk about succession planning?
Yes.
And of course, in your case, you're the exception to the rule, because they ain't going to let you go, right? But
yes.
At the same time, I'm sure you would want for a day when you come into the show and you sitting down and...
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, want that day. I want to be able to see that day, to know that we're keeping our culture alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not just giving it away. But our people feel that this is important to them too. Not because Caribbean dance is doing it, but it's because it's our culture. And if we don't install it in the young ones, we're going to lose it.
Yeah, man.
We're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. And I am so afraid of that. Like, I say certain things, like how you like say guava crap. I would say, my son, stop jumping like a crapo now. And they would look at me like, what's she talking about?
Crapo.
You know, Miss Curtis, what's a crapo? I say, it's a frog. Yeah, a big old brown ugly frog, you know, and it jumped bloop. You know, you are such a beautiful child. Come on, you need to be like a butterfly flying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they recognize a butterfly, but you know.
Yeah,
so that you make the reference, and then all of a sudden, this little child who just wanted to be plopping on the floor is jumping and happy and flying. You know, you say butterfly and. Ah, the purple. So they know the difference between being down and being up.
Yeah, man.
You know, so it's not insulting the child. Mm-hmm. It's giving them a reference to work with.
Yes.
So
that's a good point.
So people say, why you tell people child that? I said, if you don't tell them what's the bad, how are they going to know what's the good?
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
You have to show reference, because a child might go and hit another child and think she's having fun, not knowing you. Hurting that child.
Yeah.
You have to have, in my opinion, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I have to tell them what's wrong and how they look, so that they could feel, oh, I don't want to look like that. No. I want to look like this. I want to be a princess. I don't want to be the ugly duckling, you know?
Because you started in Central.
Your
thing started in Central. And now... that's another great institution there that, you know, we got gymnasium there and all that stuff, things struggling and trying to make things happen. As we embrace, and we go to a break, as we embrace the importance of preservation, have we determined that maybe somebody needs to sit down and start documenting? In other words, the history of Caribbean Dance Company is so rich that maybe it's time for the story to be documented.
We actually spoke about that several times,
yes,
the past couple of years.
Wow.
Since I've been here.
Wow. Yes. See, I didn't even know that. You know what I'm saying? Because the story, the history has gotten to the point now where it needs to be told, in particular with Carlos, who... You know what I'm saying? It's there we got, you know, we'll take advantage of that. Great conversation, Arts Thursday. We come back. We'll get into the details of the show, the time we're working with, and all that preparation and all that stuff. Be back right after this.
New business opportunities at Bankers St. Croix. Bankers St. Croix offers deposit banking products, business online platforms, and commercial loans. Our SBA lending department offers financing options and access to capital for businesses. Bankers St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. BankersStCroix.com. Bankers St. Croix is an equal housing lender.
These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. At All Things Considered, we offer our own type of healing, invigorating news stories that span the rainbow of human experience. Nourish your mind and escape from the ordinary. Weekdays on All Things Considered from NPR News.
From 5 to 8 p.m.
right here on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
All of us want to know what's going on, but only some of us want to know the why. That's where we come in. 1A is a place for the curious. Daily conversations for those looking to make sense of our world. I'm Jen White. I hope you'll join me next time for 1A.
Catch 1A at its new time. Weekdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here to analyze this. We got the good folks, the leadership from the Caribbean Dance Company joining us here. We got Christiana, we got Essie, and we got Carlos Salomon. Essie, my father, used to run the St. Croix Talent Club back in the day. And this before you. You're still a baby, you just reach. And the goal was from year to year to not have the show be the same as it was the previous year. So how do you, when you're putting the production together and you're choreographing and all that stuff, you don't want it to be redundant. Like if somebody coming in 2021, they say, well, I saw that in 2020. What do you do to modify that so that the evolution is real?
Well, we incorporate basically what their current, you know, norm is or trend is, and we infuse it with our cultural history in terms of movement and gestures and whatnot to give basically to actually keep them more engaged, because you know, children, students, they get bored very, very easily. So we have to infuse what their trend is right now and still preserve our cultural heritage and history and show them actually your trend came from our history, to be honest. What y'all call, whatever names you call it now, that was this and that or whatever. As a matter of fact, Miss Curlis made a reference to what was it, a John Travolta movie.
Yes.
And it was a movement that he does all the time in Staying Alive, as a matter of fact. And she broke it down and educated. Yes. I educated them and told them that's actually African movement.
You may recognize it in one of our dances.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
African movement.
So wait. John Travolta?
Yes.
That's the year it come. You know what she said, John Travolta? Because that's the year it come out. 77, 78.
You see that? That's
the year.
So we're going all the way back to the beginning of Caribbean dance, where John Travolta's moves were actually inspired by African movement. A lot of the artists today, like Beyonce and whatnot.
Are you hearing me referencing a show coming out tonight? American Masters with Little Richard, right?
Yes.
You know, the last 60 years of his life, all he was doing was complaining, y'all stole my music and stole my music.
Exactly.
Yes. So talk a little bit about that, the production, and how you fuse things in to keep it real, keep it current, but at the same time hold on to principles.
And you said it. You know, we have an incredible vocabulary of dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we are about essentially is fusing various dance styles. And as Essie said, using it to reflect our roots. So we've got African traditions that merge with Caribbean traditions that came out of different islands, which is something that even our company did. A lot of the repertoire pieces that we became known for come out of experiences of our brothers and sisters throughout the Caribbean. And then you add in modern flair, you know, ballet, which some consider, you know, the technical root of dance. That's another debate we'll talk about later. But essentially, what we do is take that training that our kids are getting all year, and we look at what's happening in our community, in the world, and those experiences are an inspiration for the instructors in creating, you know, what we want to highlight. Mm-hmm. What do we want the audience to leave with a sense of?
Yeah, man.
And,
yeah, man.
You know, like I said, for us, a big thing this year is emancipation. You know, that that struggle for freedom that we deal with every day. It's not just, you know, freedom from slavery. It's freedom from work. It's freedom from pressure. It's, you know, all the things in life that stress us. You know, there's one dance in the show called Unfinished, and it was choreographed by Monty Thompson, you know, who, as Curlis mentioned, we must give due to as one of the founding members and directors of Caribbean dance. And the idea Unfinished, it's about the fact that our work is never done. You know, we're constantly striving. Mm-hmm. We may fall off the road from time to time, but it's there in front of us and we got to get back on. And so, you know, reflection, celebration, history, roots, that's what we focused on this year. And every year when we look around and think about what do we want to share, in that moment, all dance becomes new. You know, it's something different for the audience, the viewer, to reflect on.
Carlos, you think that us in this part of the world, we may have shortchanged ourselves in terms of our contributions in the art forms?
I would think that, yes.
Because, like, yesterday I had on an artist. And she has a studio in St. Thomas and all that stuff. One of my biggest gripes with our artists is that they create all this brilliant work and they're not compensated at the levels that they should be. Like, we had Dove. Remember, Dove used to be on the counter and talk.
Oh, my goodness. All
the time, right?
I have a big picture in my house right now.
Yeah, man. And so I want the same thing for our innovators and our creators here. And in this case, it's dance and all that stuff. And to hear about the like with art, that it looked like you got to die for 80 years before they start selling your photo them for $60 million and
right.
5 million.
And then you don't profit.
I want flowers for our people when they live in.
Right? I want it now.
I want it now.
You know, I keep saying, like, every, you know, people come up to me, I want to do a documentary on you. I said, okay, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind you doing what you do and making money,
but
you're
doing
it on me. But I have to eat too.
Yeah,
it's about me, and I'm getting the least out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people say, "But preserving is." I said, "But when I die, I can't do nothing with that." Really, you know, give my organization something.
Yeah, man.
Give me something. Let's all profit from it. Mm-hmm. I have no problem sharing my history or sharing my culture, but don't take it from me. And don't give me nothing for it.
Don't use me.
Don't use me.
Yes.
Don't use me.
You know what I'm saying? And I keep bringing this up every other week. We got some major anniversaries coming this year, 175th Emancipation. 5 years from now, another 1878.
Oh,
wow. Contract day.
Yes.
Right? We got that coming up. And that was 1878. And then 5 years from now, 105 years from now, it'll be 150th for contract day. And then 10 years from now, the rebellion in St. John, 300 years, we got to tell that story again.
Right.
People can't be coming from outside to tell our story.
For real. And I'm willing to be a part of all of that.
Yeah. And Caribbean Dance Company should be a part
and
of.
And we are working with the emancipation people.
Yeah,
we are. But the thing is, like, people, and I'm not saying the emancipation people, I'm just saying in general, who wants to hire any artist?
And we actually have Virgin Islands who on Broadway now.
Right.
We're actually doing so we don't have any excuse at this point.
Right.
And we got storytellers as well, Miss Angela Golden, I think her name was, and all that stuff. So we gotta make sure that our story is not only told but incorporates us.
Correct. And I think that's part of why we do what we do every year. We want to be a part of that dialogue, and we want to be a part of continuing to push and promote in this community how important it is for us to embrace and support our own artists and what we contribute to the larger world. As you said, we have individuals who came from these tiny islands, you know, 100,000 people who are on a stage in the world showing the excellence that is born within this community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, as you said, throughout, it's in sports, you know, it's in dance, it's in music.
Education.
Yeah. And
finance.
You touched on it a little earlier. Our government needs to be a part of the resource, putting in the resources needed to support that development.
We got the NEA, which is the National Endowment of the Arts.
Correct.
Right. We got entities there. A lot of times, though, we don't even really know that grant money is available.
That is true.
Yes.
So we got to work on making that. Well, actually, playing a part and using that avenue to push our history. So Caribbean Dance Company. Doing the math, close to a 50-year thing. So I mean, it might seem like a couple years down the road.
We planning.
But that's supposed to be a massive event, a weekend of events going on here. I mean, when you think about it, you know what I mean. And I had some competition once upon a while. Street dancers, right? They had the street dancers.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But you know.
But it was all good because we all did different things.
And you fed off each other, right?
Yes.
We all did different things.
But then everybody got the same lasting power, though. You get it. We go call a spade a spade. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They were nice for what they did.
Yes.
But they still know your place and stay there.
He said it, not us.
Don't blame Caribbean Dance Company. That's a Neville James colloquial thing. That's a partner, right?
I like that.
No. What happened was I had a friend of mine. He passed away in COVID. His name is Rima Farley. We used to call him Beaver. So we did on in tongue one day, and a partner, his guy, he said, "Beaver, what you doing here? You don't go home?" And Beaver turned to me and said, "Don't just know your place. Know your place and stay there."
I love it.
I never forgot that, right? And so when we trash talk, and look, trash talking is you know what I mean? It's just like to let you know, look, I know you're good,
you know, but
check yourself when you're coming next to me, unless Caribbean Dance Company is a staple.
Yes.
So, you know, but I like the idea that Ayo could take Ayo production and take it anywhere.
Yes.
If Ayo said, look, we're doing something at the WAF, I could knock that out.
Yes.
Complex, Island Center, Dungan West, Dungan Strand Street, Dungan, a beautiful backdrop and all that stuff. That's the beauty of Caribbean Dance Company. I've been all over the whole island. You know, and now it's time to, you know, as we approach that 50th anniversary, you got to keep that vision.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And make it happen. So you confident next week I'm going to knock it out the box like you always do?
Oh, we're ready. We are pushing our students to be on top of what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
because we have some students that is very young and they don't understand what it takes to be a dancer,
because
they see the fun in it, but the work that they have to put in, they're going like, oh my gosh. Last night they were rehearsing, and as he said, one more time. And I said, okay, you got a choice. One more time or 100 sit-ups. One girl said, I would do this dance 100 more times than 100
I like that.
So
like
you know, the stamina that they're building, mm-hmm. you know, just by pushing them to go, because some of them are in 5 dances and they don't realize what it's going to take to do those 5 dances practically back to back.
I see that. I mean, when my father had the talent club, we had, and this is something that I'm sure you got to deal with, and S in particular with finesse. Some have more skill than others.
Of course.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And as a result, you go call a speed, because mm-hmm. the show must go on, and mm-hmm. the show must go on at a high level.
Yes.
And I think they recognize that, and you could use that as a motivating force to get folks to get to the next level, right?
That is correct. That is correct. And that's where we filter them in, because normally you would expect to have all of your excellent dancers up front.
Mm-hmm.
No. We space them out so that they filter in with those who are not up to par as yet, mm-hmm. who still have time to grow, so that they can feed off of each other. Like the other night I was telling one of our little dancers, or our teens, I was telling her, well, I have you guys doing a certain thing at this part because I noticed that if you keep going, your energy decreases severely.
And you got to worry about that.
Yes, Yes,
well, right?
So this is
vitality.
Vitality is very important. So as an instructor and a choreographer, I noticed that, and I gave her the opportunity to take a break within the dance. Little did she know she was taking a break to come back full force and give it her all until the end. And when I explained that to her, she's like, oh. And then when she did it again, I saw a complete difference in her performance. So,
wow,
you know, to
like
make
that.
Sure that they understand how to use their body in order to maintain their stamina to continue to perform.
I had to read about that with pro athletes. I got a lot of pro athletes who want to go all out. And with a half of the game to go, they ain't got nothing left.
Left.
You got to pace yourself.
Yes.
And
yes,
the same thing applies in with dance and all that stuff, right?
And there you talk about it.
Right.
Everything they're learning here has an application in everyday life.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
And grooming you to be successful in whatever you do, because it follows through in work, it follows through in pleasure, it follows through in any endeavor. That skill set that you're learning, you know, endurance, stamina.
That's a tough analogy. That's skill set. So I want to thank you ladies for helping me wrap up a great week here at Analyzers, and I wish you well. And you see, I've done it, looking visionary already, 50 years.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We're approaching
calling
that.
Him.
We're approaching that, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully Analyzers will be in effect then and all that good stuff. And hopefully by then, our Staple Island Center will be back to where it is and at a higher level so that the show would go on at where it should go on, which is
for sure
at Island Center. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, Essie. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you.
Glad to have you on.
As always.
Christiana.
June 9th and 10th at the complex.
What time?
We're 7:30.
7:30 to about 9:30, 10 o'clock thereabouts?
10 o'clock.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay, all roads lead to Island Center.
The
Sacred Educational Complex. Okay, I'm center of my mind.
It's hard.
Rough. The 9th and the 10th, which is Friday and Saturday of next week. Okay, 46th edition.
46th.
Caribbean Dance Company. Wow, that's awesome. Thank you very much, ladies. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you, Jamal. Thank you, Kyle Fleming, for joining me the Power Hour earlier. And thanks to the support staff, Marisol, Kira, Dina, everybody over there on Mountaintop and all that good stuff. Enjoy the weekend. Be good, be safe, and I'll talk to you on Monday, God willing.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening, I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Listening to the wings of a monarch butterfly, what a magical thought.
They arrive here on the Day of the Dead, which we celebrate here in Mexico, and a lot of the indigenous people believe that it's the souls of their ancestors that are returning, you know? And it's very spiritual.
That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.